Out on the edge of town, there's a shitty little bus that sits and waits for you, the listener. As you get on, you notice that two things are true. The first is that this bus smells absolutely terrible. There must be something hidden in or under or around the seats, maybe on the seats. The second thing that you notice is the bus has two occupants. The first one, a dashing fellow with a dimple only on one cheek and a sly smile, who invites you to sit next to him, and you quickly and quietly comply. The second one sits at the front of the bus very menacingly. She has eyes that suggest power and control and absolute command over the space she is around, and also a devious smile that says you might be in danger. You, a quiet, peaceful listener, sit next to a man who says, "Hey, my name's Eric, and welcome to our anime tour bus." This intro was inspired by the Tales from the Gas Station, which I just finished reading the last book in the series.
Not started it yet.
It is fucking glorious and has made me have a newfound appreciation of life. It was nice, and I am gonna just do the gentlest of spoilers.
No,
for this intro, it is not anything crucial. This is not anything fundamental. It's one stupid line. But Metzger, I am, of course, our non-expert that you're sitting next to, listener, and at the very front of the bus is Metzger. Metzger is our expert in the anime world, and as this bus moves forward and goes off into the ethereal plane where it transverses universes, we're going to arrive in a world full of anime. Yeah, just try to avoid all the, don't look at the titties directly, because when you stare into the titty abyss, it stares back at you. So Metzger, we watched some animes.
Yes.
And two of those animes, both of them had some pretty dramatic moments. I would like to, weirdly enough, start with Shangri-La Frontier.
Okay.
When last we left off, we were in a boss fight against a mud shark.
With catfish whiskers.
With catfish whiskers. Obviously, we got to slip and slide around, and the mud shark is going to fight us using its mud shark attacks. What if it comes up from the ground, Metzger? What are we going to do?
Yeah, I think it's called like a mud digger, but it's half mole, half shark, and just a twist of catfish whiskers.
Mostly the whiskers, yeah.
I think I would name him Mr. Whiskers.
I like naming him after his least prominent feature, yes.
I could call him Mr. Mole.
So, Metzger, we get into a big fight with that creature. Our little buddy has some surprise attacks, doesn't he?
Well, she's a mage. And we did know that she is way overleveled for us. She's like a level 80 or something. And we're 27.
And he's like, "I gotta keep this, otherwise I'm just gonna get, you know, lazy." But she's gonna outclass me so friggin' hard.
I can't get carried by a level 80 NPC. What?
Literally me throughout Dark Souls and summon my mimic.
Sips juice box.
Get him. So Metzger, there comes a moment in this battle where we're falling to our death,
and every time we almost die, the bunny saves us in some way or another. And then it comes to, they think they kill it. And I went, nah, it's just phase two, right? Yep. like, he turns around and he goes, oh, it's gone. And I'm like, oh, phase two.
now the health bar is gone from all yellow to all red. Let's go.
And knocks Senraku into the air. And that's when we get a little bit of exposition that this boss in particular is considered a solo run killer. Because it's not the bump into the air that kills you. It's the fall damage.
Yeah, which sounds pretty obvious. It's not the being propelled into the sky that kills you. It's the meeting the planet again. So Metzger, at which point our bunny misses out on the best one-liner opportunity. Obviously, Senraku is plummeting to the earth and his inevitable death.
She does have a kind of a one-liner, but I'm guessing you think you can do better?
Absolutely. I'm going to just quote from Jerry real quick.
Oh, see, that's not fair. There's a language barrier.
Okay, first off, yeah. But also, I think I can do better, even if, you know, hey, don't give up on your Vorpal spirit is pretty good. Even if in English, that's decent. What I'm going to challenge you with is, parry this, you fucking casual. Then she hits the shark monster with him.
That's why you wanted to do Shangri-La first, was just so you could bring up Jerry. Just so you could bring up Jerry.
Fuck yeah, dude! I like to pretend that it was actually Jerry's line that the Vorpal Bunny did.
In D&D, don't mages have like a push spell?
So you have like what is it? Thunderous Smite? No, that is Paladin. There's a Thunder Wave is what it is.
Okay.
And yeah, you can knock them back 10 meters.
So effectively does that.
Yeah, I mean, it does some damage too. Messier, what if I did so good at the lower levels of Final Fantasy 14 that people started hunting me? What if I accidentally did too good and then people started being like, oh, you've become a symbol?
I also, when they went to go post the screenshot of him on the forum, I was like, fucking newbies. Like, you don't post people's names when you do this shit. Like, that's bad form. Even if you're flaming someone or being shitty, you block out their name in the screenshot. Like, you edit the screenshot.
See, I didn't know that. I don't play MMOs.
You're really just gonna dox somebody like that?
I'm not out here posting people's stuff. Like, that's not the life that I kind of live.
So, like, even if you're like, hey, I have a question and I need help with this thing, can someone help me? You know, you kind of don't just throw their likeness and their fucking whole ass name up there.
Yeah, I would not have known this.
Because that's exactly the kind of shit that happens. Somebody gets flamed over it. Which is exactly what happens. Like, they throw his likeness with his in-game name on the fucking forums, and everyone's like, oh my god, that bunny. Oh my god, those tattoos. And it starts drawing a lot of attention to him. And
they
then
figure it out as shit to some degree, right? Like, oh, he's been marked by the big wolf.
Yeah, the achievement hunters want him because they want to know, like, where
did you see that big wolf? Yeah.
Yeah, where'd you find the pupper? Did you read? Did you stop to, like, actually read some?
I read about, I would say, like, 80% of them. Yeah.
Did you see the one that said the pupper's been seen around Secondale?
Yep, I saw that.
I really liked that.
I do like the kind of the referring to it as a pupper, right? Like, that's the fun part.
He bumps into Pencil Knight. Like, that one.
God damn it. Yeah.
Did you not find that funny? Did you not find, like, besides, in this game, I'm not Pencil Knight. I'm Arthur Pencilgon.
So stupid.
It was really
stupid. Also, level 99 has as a player kill Skull.
Do you like the system that they have put into place to where, like...
I wasn't able to catch it as quick. So if you kill too many players, what happens to you?
So when you start playing, or when you start doing player kills, a bounty gets put out on you. And the way that it works is when you get taken down, like when someone comes up and finally defeats you, you lose all of your items, including the items in your storage, and the bounty on your head will be paid with your own personal funds.
Hilarious.
So the people, and I guess as you go, like the bounty keeps increasing. So people that have, like the people that are just in this game to do player kills are kind of in too deep to get out. If they don't keep killing the people that come to attack them for the bounties, then they'll lose it all, right? Like, even if they don't want to attack anyone anymore, now people will, you know, like, oh, you see a player killer. Yeah, I can take them down, and then I get a reward.
Thanks for listening so far. We do have another episode to talk about, but before we start talking about that, hey, listener, why don't you check us out on Instagram at AnimeTourBus, on Twitter at Anime_Bus, and me and WeBoot.wordpress.com. Metzger, let me ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
So suppose that you're playing a game, maybe like, I don't know, your favorite MMO or something different. You see a big boss guy. Okay. Mm-hmm. He's a big hard to fight. Obviously gonna be the challenge, right? And then you see kind of the minions, the scrubs, the kind of easier to fight creatures.
Which you
take out first? Yeah, what's your strategy?
Well, you always take out the ads.
You take out the ads first?
Yeah. Yeah, why would you?
You don't focus in on like the main.
I guess main the only time first. You would ever do that is if you won't get overwhelmed by the trash. And also, there are those like bosses that just continually make new trash. So there's been like, if they cap out on their spawned trash, then you just kind of like live that way.
Yeah. So suppose you were a big squid man, and you saw a man who he's punched you in the tummy a few times, and it's not felt good. Now he's sharpening big tri-chucks, about to come at you real good with them. And you say, "Well, I can just like take out the trash at least real quick, and all that." That would be your game plan as an octopus monster.
See, that's an entirely different thing, because the no cursed energy sorcerer zombie is on a whole nother level to where everyone else is just watching. as far as we're concerned, this guy is the only and main aggressor.
Okay. So yeah, everybody else is like, listen, I'm not touching that.
If you take your eyes off of Toad when he's going to fight you, you're guaranteed dead, man. That's you fucked up. Like, it's enough to just look at him, maintain eye contact. And the big plan is to, you know, defeat, like, kill Fushiguro, so that way you can get your domain back and, you know, you're one hit guaranteed. And then you can ideally overwhelm Toji. But I think the mere existence of Toji showing up in your domain is just kind of it in itself is a guaranteed death. Because that dude was nuts. Dude was taking cursed weapons and fucking sharpening
them against him. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a weird move.
No, I was with him. Like, yeah, that makes sense.
This guy's running on pure brainstem.
And he's just like, I've got no thoughts going on in the brain palace, but whoever the strongest is, that's who I'm fighting.
My only prerogative is death, and I start at the top and work my way down.
Honestly, I can respect that. Yeah, he's got an approach. Listen, that's how I tackle things at work. Start at the top, work my way down.
Oh, bite the frog? Eat the frog, whatever?
What the fuck did you just say to me?
It's a Mark Twain thing.
You're gonna bite what? Bite the head of the frog?
You eat the frog. Mark Twain said, I'm gonna bungle this quote, but never mind. I want to cut that off there. The Mark Twain quote is, I'm gonna bungle this quote.
Listen, there's three things I know about Mark Twain. It's convince other people to paint your shit. Eat frogs, you fool. And I'm going to bungle this quote. So the three things I know about. Listen, not a lot of people appreciating Mark Twain. We're into Mark Twain's hip stuff. Like you might not know the thing. We were interested in him before it was cool. So yeah, we get a big fight with the squid. Squid gets punched with nunchucks in his face holes. Squid dies.
Yeah, domain's ruined. That's fine. And then everyone else is just kind of then stuck there with Toji for a second. And this happened so fucking fast. The episode was over. I had to stop and reflect and be like, wait, what the fuck happened?
So Toji's there. He's obviously next step is pick next strongest, right?
Yeah, but there's no way you can convince me that Fushiguro is the next strongest.
I think he's in... So,
dude literally threw up blood when he got out of the domain.
Let me run an idea past you real quick. It's about sperm banks, and I want you to hear me out on this, right?
I hate this.
So, the people who are going to donate to sperm banks often are individuals kind of lacking funds, if you will. The idea is that, like, people are selecting, individuals for their sperm donations based on, like, hey, this person has great, like, overall features, great height, great looks, college educated, whatever. And but obviously this is also someone who is donating to a sperm bank. So what you're really measuring is the most untapped potential in an individual. Who here didn't do as good in life as they probably could have?
It also could just be someone that scores very high in narcissistic personality disorder.
I don't remember. There's like some...
To where they value themselves so high that they believe that...
But in the end, it comes back to who individuals are selecting to be their sperm. Like, who makes money off of that is based on who's actually, like, taking your sperm, right? People are paying, I think it's like $1,500. What you're actually then rewarding is the most untapped potential. So the more money you make, the more people are like, oh yeah, you didn't go as far as you could have. And I think we should just start from scratch.
Oh, and just like everything else, everything else, it's all about marketing.
Yeah.
You got to market your sperm. You know what I think?
Yeah.
You know how those, you know those tattoo parlors?
Yeah.
Do the, like, flash gumball sales with the, yep, you get what you get.
And you don't throw a fit.
I think the sperm bank should do the same thing. Like, you just go in and...
but it's like all free, or it's like, you know, for Friday the 13th, it's $13.
Yeah.
You have a weird redhead. Congratulations.
Yeah.
They don't tell you until after the procedure is complete, and then they just hand you a picture of the person. I love that. Oh, that's so terribly wonderful.
I bet that there's a weird untapped market for that. Like, because, like, some of the tattoos that I see,
they're like a silly pumpkin sticker looking tattoo. Yeah.
A lot of the times there'll be like one good tattoo in the whole bunch, and then all the other ones are like, I guess they don't speak to me, which doesn't mean they don't speak to others, but therefore the risk reward to me
too high.
sperm banks should move to that model.
I love
that inventory that needs to be moved.
Hear me out on this, okay? We put it on a big wheel, and we spin that wheel Price is Right style. And
dude, I want it to be an actual gacha machine, but one that's kept a certain temperature. So you go in.
And inside of the boss is just actual male cum.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my god, I hate how much I think this is funny.
At least it can be in vials. Like, you can still have it in the tube. But then
I like the idea that I've rigged the system and I'm just like dumping in a bunch of them and you walk in and it's just like a bunch of these are mine. It's just like a bunch of pictures of me just all at the bottom. I've loaded the machine to where it's just all me on the bottom.
The true Jerry moment for that one though is in some of these are grizzly bears.
Oh no! That's so fun. Fushiguro is the is the sperm bank of choices, the most potential, and thus the greatest potential choice.
We got here.
He has the most untapped potential.
I think we're just running on brainstem, and he just recognizes his son, and this.
I think it all comes back to untapped potential. And I want you to know, I planned this approach to talking about untapped potential, baby batter potential, and Fushiguro. So the fact that made you lose your shit, honestly, is a win for me.
I like it more that I turned it into the tattoo parlor thing, and then we added grizzly bear sperm.
I hate that it became a gashapon, but it had to be. Like, it stands out so clearly.
I just love it. I just love going into a sperm bank and turning the dial and a little capsule pops out and it's got jizz in it.
We can make this happen. We have the technology.
And then next to it is the little container that says please recycle your capsule.
As though you're expected to use it instantly.
Yeah.
I like the idea that there's like...
home with me.
So Fushiguro is being attacked by and Metzger our Volcano Man. Very fast. Very quickly. Literally blinks. Volcanoes. So he flames all three of our characters, including businessman.
Who's not dead.
You don't think so?
He's not dead.
You know so?
I know so.
Okay. I was worried when I saw him get Charizard flamethrowered. So, I thought he was dead.
I think that there is no way that they would let Nanamin go out that way.
Yeah.
Without it having more of a display, as he kind of is a fan favorite.
I will say One Arm Man is dead, for sure.
One Arm Man is dead, but we were introduced to him two episodes ago.
It doesn't matter. And Grill isn't dead.
Maki is not dead either.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Like, the deaths were just not dramatic enough. Like, Mechamaru got a whole episode. Got like a whole love scene to a girl that just wants to be, that wants to friend zone him so hard. And and so therefore that is my basis for saying that Nanami is not actually dead. Because there's no way that this fan favorite character, they Jogo just walks up, hits him in the belly, and just gives him the worst heartburn you've ever seen. And that's the end of our dude.
Yeah. Yeah, so obviously that was a little jarring. And then we get a Sukuna moment. It's been a while since we've had a Sukuna moment.
I do think that Jogo...
Sukuna Matata.
Oh, I hate that. I do think Jogo is gonna go back. Like, he's incapacitated both Nanami and Maki, and I think he's gonna, like, go back and actually finish them off, like, for realsies, you know? But because he's a cursed spirit, as soon as, like, it's like a parent trying to open a snack with their toddler in the other room, and, like, this parent's trying to be, like, real sneaky, trying to get that, like, piece of candy open, and then they hear, "What's that?" And they turn around, and there's the fucking toddler. That's what happens with cursed spirits and Sukuna fingers. Like, you know, they're trying to, like, silently feed this to Yuji, but Jogo's like a toddler that herds that has realized you've just opened a little Debbie cake, and now they want it more than they want to breathe.
Them fingies.
Yeah.
Metzger, when the girls were saying, "Hey, we gave you the finger and stuff," I literally was reading that and I said to myself, "Ooh, you should have phrased that differently." When I read it, because it would be one thing if
I didn't notice that one, but I did notice when Jogo said that Yuji should be full of about 15 fingers now. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, that's a lot.
He's like, "And this little piggy went to my belly, and this little piggy went to my belly also."
I'm just like, are they all in the same hole?
Now, let me throw this out there. I think that her mistake was in saying, like, if
it's all
you...
in the phrasing.
Yeah, it was 100% the phrasing. If you do this for me, I'll give you another finger and stuff. And, like, she should have been begging, "Hey, listen, I'm insignificant. I get that. I would like you to do this for me if it comes up on your schedule as a convenience. But also, hey, I know where another finger is. I'm just going to give you that for free." And then see if he's feeling generous. If not, hey, you win some, you lose some. And honestly, getting out of that alive would have been anything. But they got greedy and tried to blackmail Sukuna. Yeah.
Really enjoyed how the camera pans to Jogo's face and then his arm is just fucking gone.
I like that. Obviously a technique.
Uh-oh, Sukuna's awake. Jogo's arm is just fucking gone.
He didn't see it until it was just like...
Dude didn't even feel it. Then it's just like, wait a second. But then the other thing I liked is he tells them to bow and Jogo goes on one knee because he is a prideful spirit. Like, he is the volcano. And, you know, in Japan, that's the volcanoes are a big deal.
And they drop down.
And the two girls are all the way kissing the floor. And Jogo loses the top of his fucking head. But again, because he's a cursed spirit, he can do that. And after that is Jogo recovers from that mistake, whereas those girls do not.
Yeah, I mean, one, it was all in the phrasing. And the one girl's like, "Oh, man, my head's gone." And the other girl was like, "What the f-?" And tries to, like, attack him with her phone.
She can take a picture of something and put her intent in the picture. If you notice, when Jogo went to go light them on fire, right before she did, she took a selfie of her and her friend.
Yeah, I saw that.
And so then, like, that was able to preserve them.
And Sukuna was not impressed. He's like, "Ah, that's some bullshit." And then, like, crushed her phone.
I also enjoyed that. I'm here for some Sukuna. Like, Sukuna is just Wario Gojo.
Big Daddy Sukuna. We're thirsting for some Sukuna over here.
Big Daddy Sukuna, full of fingers.
Oh, full of fingies. Oh, he's eating so many fingies.
Oh, man. Yuji's half dead, and is at death door, but those fingers still go down smooth.
I was going to say, that boy, he must never gag when taking pills. Like, that's something. Because even still, sometimes I'll be like, you know, taking ibuprofen, be a little bit like, eh, you know?
God.
Just because, like, it's unpleasant to take pills sometimes, you know? Maybe you just woke up. Maybe you haven't had, like, something to drink or nothing yet. You got to pop one and go and stuff. Like, anyways, Big Daddy Sukuna is here. And that's going to be where we end this episode.
That's not entirely true. Like, he does get a... you get a fun little flashback with those girls and how they love Ghetto, and they're very upset that he's not, that he's just a body and he's not changed. Like,
yeah, that he's like this brain curse monster thing.
He's been pet cemeteried.
Yeah, and that would be upsetting. I mean, that's a reasonable request. It's all in the
phrasing. I mean, have you seen Pet Cemetery?
Yes, it's terrifying.
Exactly.
I hated the part where they got the Achilles tendon. I felt that haunts me.
I've never fully understood my mom because, like, Harry Potter was the devil and I couldn't watch that. But as a 5-year-old, when Pet Sematary came out, I was allowed to watch that.
Couldn't watch The Simpsons because that goes against God. But also, I was allowed to watch the Riddick Chronicles, namely Pitch Black, which is where giant bats come through the dark and they punch holes in your chest with their big, big beaks. It was rated R and I was 6.
Like, yeah, that sounds about like the same time frame. Pet Sematary, yeah. Though. I got to watch Pet Sematary as like a 5-year-old.
Listener, let us know, what was the first scary movie that you watched stuck with you? Because, I mean, it's just a little bit after Halloween time. But
that's
like,
where we'll judge you for that.
I'm still feeling kind of spooky. We want to know... We want to know what spooked you as a kid. We want to know, like, what still gets under your bones. What gets in there, listener? We want to know, is it Tales from the Gas Station? Is that what's doing it for you?
Tales from the Gas Station is only good vibes.
I know. It actually made me feel really good today. Listener, we hope that we made you feel good today. We hope that if you visit our sperm bank Gashapon, you'll leave a tip. But just the tip. We hope that if you get a tattoo, it's not like of a shitty pumpkin, but it's the tattoo that you actually want. We want you to live a good life, and we hope that we are in some way a part of that. And we hope that we'll continue to be a part of that next week when we do this all over again. But hey, thanks for listening. And as always,
bye! Bye.
How'd you get grizzly bear cum?